Hello and welcome to i24 News. David Matlin here live in Tel Aviv. Thanks for joining us here as we open the day after Israel's third elections within a year now. And the parties, until now, unable to form a government. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declared a quote-unquote gigantic victory for his Likud party last
week. There is possibly good news, at least, for Israeli voters wearied of the regular trudge to their polling stations. They might not be obliged to vote for the fourth time in a year or so. This week's general election, the third in 11 months, appears to have been slightly more decisive than its two predecessors. While nobody has an outright majority in the Knesset, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's conservative bloc are not far short of one. Failure to assemble a governing coalition from here would require rancor and chaos remarkable even by the recent standards of Israeli politics. This is also, obviously, provisionally good news for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in as much as it looks like Benjamin Netanyahu will get to carry on being Israel's Prime Minister, a job he has already done longer than anyone else in the country's history. Netanyahu's Likud party won more votes than in September or in April last year, and turnout was actually up on the last couple of elections. As for the bad news, there's a fair bit to go round.
Breaking news to bring to you. Israel's Attorney General has indicted the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, on multiple corruption charges.
There is the extremely imminent potential political and legal complication of a serving Prime Minister standing trial. As things stand, Netanyahu is due before the Beek in Jerusalem on March 17th to begin answering charges of fraud, bribery, and breach of trust.
Tonight we are witnessing an attempted coup against a serving Prime Minister based on fabrications and a tainted, biased investigative process. In this tainted process, they weren't after the truth, they were after me. The investigators didn't pressure the witnesses to tell the truth, they crushed them with threatening extortion to tell a lie.
He may apply for a delay, citing the imperative of forming a new government, but even if he gets one, it likely won't be for long. Israel's judiciary is not known for its deference to politicians. Within the last decade, one former prime minister, Ehud Olmert, and one former president, Moshe Katsav, have served prison sentences after being convicted of various offences. There appears to be also the further recession of any possibility anytime soon of a meaningful peace agreement with Israel's Palestinian neighbours, notwithstanding the diligent labours of US President Donald Trump's son-in-law.
For a moment, imagine a new reality in the Middle East. Imagine a bustling commercial and tourist centre in Gaza and the West Bank, where international businesses come together and thrive.
Whose vision for the region, unveiled earlier this year, seems already to be regarded by all concerned as a sort of high-spirited indiscretion which everyone has agreed it is best to discreetly forget.
בחודשים האחרונים הובלתי מאמץ מדיני בכיוון הזה, ובימים האחרונים בשלו התנאים המדיניים לכך.
Today, I am announcing to apply, with the formation of the next government, Israeli sovereignty on the Jordan Valley and the northern Dead Sea.
Netanyahu's latest election campaign bet big on further Israeli expansion into the West Bank. Days before polls opened, he announced his intention to exhume a plan, long buried by international condemnation, for 3,500 new settler homes which would effectively connect the West Bank settlement of Mali Adumim with Jerusalem. He may now also feel emboldened to act on previous threats to formally annex portions of Palestinian land. And it is obviously a grim result for Israeli opposition to Benjamin Netanyahu and its present principal figurehead, retired general and former Israel Defense Forces chief Benny Gantz.
As I told you 1 year ago, I entered politics because I feared for our internal unity, our nation, which prevailed over every enemy time and time again by sticking together was being torn apart.
If an opposition cannot, in three quick-fire attempts, finish off a tired, belligerent and entitled Prime Minister facing serious criminal charges, a long and unflinching look in the mirror is probably overdue. Ahead of Netanyahu now lies the horse-trading, arm-twisting and carrot-dangling necessary to get his bloc from the 58 Knesset seats it has to the 61 it needs to govern. He will probably find this possible. Even Benny Gantz has conceded that neither he nor anyone else in Israel fancies yet another trip to the polls. Indeed, it's not altogether impossible that members of Gantz's liberal Kahol Lavan alliance, or even Gantz himself, may perceive long-term mileage in being seen to prioritise stability and agree to prop Netanyahu up in the short term. In the immediate aftermath of this latest election defeat, Gantz failed to reiterate his previous ironclad objection to serving a prime minister under indictment. However, Avigdor Lieberman, leader of the nationalist Yisrael Betanu party, remains the potentially crucial kingmaker. And though he also says he doesn't want another election, he doesn't want Netanyahu either. Another possibly significant straw in the wind, a strong showing for the Joint List, an alliance principally representing Israel's Arab citizens. The Joint List won 15 Knesset seats on Monday, up 2 from September. More than 500,000 Israelis voted for them, including, according to Joint List Chairman Ayman Oda, many Jews depressed by Netanyahu's bellicose and nationalistic conservatism. Demagogues and populists often accidentally contrive to energise their opponents and catalyse new kinds of opposition. It's a long way off, and may indeed never happen, but it would be something if Benjamin Netanyahu's real legacy turned out to be a strengthened Israeli left, united across sectarian lines. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.